staying up here, but you guys may be seated. Yes, you guys can sit too. We'll all sit.
Well, we're here this morning to praise the Lord, aren't we? So let's hear some praises. Stan Lee.
Me and Kelly finally pick a date, April 11th. I hope Pastor Ball don't wear a Michigan tie when I get married.
I have my Michigan shirt underneath my other shirt, just so you want to know. Any other praises this morning, what God's been doing?
I've been so sick, and I made it through, and I tried not to complain as I was being sick, because I knew I had it much less than a lot of people. But, boy, it's hard. You're thinking, Lord, you know, if you want to take me home now, I'm okay with that. So, you know, we get that perfect body in heaven and everything's good. But, and I actually made it back to school this week. And the kids barely know me, but they're, because I haven't been there very long, but they were so sweet. And they come running up and give me hugs. And it's like, ooh, ooh, we get to have library now and all this, you know. So that kind of perks your spirits up. So, and I'm glad to be back here. I mean, I haven't missed 3 weeks since, oh, like, forever. I mean, I think when we had to do the outdoor things when COVID first hit, and I had to work on Saturdays, and so the services were mostly on Saturday. So it's great to be back and see all of you, and I hope nobody else ever gets it, but we'll make it through. So glad to be here and see all of you. Good.
I just praise God. My daughter and her husband went down to pick up my oldest grandson down in South Carolina. He's moving back to Ohio, and all the trip was great, and he's moving in with us today, and we're going to have him for at least a month or two. He's 22 years old. He's just looking for a change, so pray for him, but we just praise God that everything went well on that trip.
I was here along with some other folks from the church that worked the crop this last weekend. And sometimes it's hard to see the fruits of our labor, right? Because these ladies just come in, and it's not necessarily a church function. But one of the ladies made a comment on how it was good to see. It was me, Pastor Bob, and Jeff. We served them sandwiches. And she said it was good to see the men helping out with that, and proceeded to talk about how it's nice that the church was allowing something like that to happen in it. So to me, it's important that this building is available to the community to be used. I mean, I hate to see this building empty, but I think they do appreciate it, and it's because our congregation makes that happen. So I praise God for that.
Anybody else? Well, we have some prayer requests this morning. Don't forget Sam and
I do.
Oh, do you have one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep Donna in your prayers. She's now in rehab. She's not having a very good time of it. It's the same place where her husband and her mom died, and it's affecting her. Just keep her in your prayers. She needs them really bad.
Okay, we will do that.
I just wanted to share, my son Josh is on the prayer list and for his health, and his health has stabilized, which we are very thankful for, just some different issues that he has, but we still pray for them. And the other request that I had back in the fall was for a job for him, and I think I shared that he had gotten hired on with a company called Cover My Meds. It's a big company now in, down in Columbus. They're a big company. And the funny part is he's been there now about 5 or 6 months, and he was recognized as employee for of the month or whatever just this past week. And I guess that's funny because his other two brothers, he got them into the company as well, because it's all a work from home computer type thing. And so they're all doing this, and they all kind of came on gradually, all as a result of Josh. And so they're kind of, it's kind of neat to see the bonding that's going on between the three of them. And the Lord's using Josh to kind of inspire them and encourage them. So it's just been kind of a blessing to see that love and that commitment to one another that they're having there. And that's just the, that's a blessing as a parent to see that bonding.
That's good. Any other prayer requests?
I have a dear friend from far back in grade school. We've been friends all these years, and she was recently diagnosed with colorectal cancer. She's taking chemo and has had 2 weeks of chemo, and the chemo's gone pretty well, but her blood counts are going down, and they said if they don't, if they keep going down, they'll have to stop the chemo. And so I want prayer for her. Her name is Mary Brunet.
So I recently took up a hobby that takes me away from home a couple times a week, and it's mostly young people there. And I don't want it to be just a hobby. I just would like prayer for God to open doors there so it can be a mission field as well.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thanks for the worship music. Thank you for the praises we've heard this morning. Think of all the requests that are made for those who have cancer, and Holly that wants to be an influence where she's at, not just a hobby, but to be a difference maker. So, Lord, we'll be with Donna as well, and Dee, and we think of Sam, Fran, Ray, and Bernice, and all the different ones, Lord, the Lachey's, and different ones, Lord, that are maybe at home and can't get out or have different issues that, that keeps them from being here, but we just pray for them. Be with those who can't be with us this morning, Lord, whether they may be sick or whatever the outcome may be of them. Be with those in Ukraine. We still remember Ukraine, Lord, what's happening there. The atrocities, people are being killed and schools are being bombed and all those things. And we know you know what's happening. We just ask you to intervene, step in, Lord, make some changes happen, and just make it be for your good in some way, that these people may have a stronger faith and a better resolve, and we may see how important that prayer is for us, that we can touch the other side of the world, even from here. So we ask for that as well, and for maybe missionaries or aid workers that are going there that can share the gospel with those in that country, Lord. So we pray for protection for them and for the kids, families, Lord, as they're being bombarded by the enemy. So we pray you'd be with them as well. Help us this morning, Lord, to glorify you. Help us to draw closer to you in all that we say and do. Be with each one here that has maybe an issue that they are thinking about, that they've sent to you. So we just send that again, that you'll hear that prayer and that you'll answer. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your direction for us. And we just give you the praise in your name. Amen. Now we have Holly Joy without the Holly.
Like to praise the Lord this morning. We serve a wonderful God, the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had, and many of the old prophets, old disciples. We are so blessed that we serve a living God, that he is alive today to help us through whatever comes our way in this life. We're never going to walk alone. And this song says, talks about the God I serve. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit living within us, that we can go out into this world and be the witness that God would have us be. That's our prayer today, that we would be more of a witness for Him and be used by Him, because time is short. When you think about how many years you live here, 70, 80, 90 years, that's nothing compared to eternity. So we need to take these days and ask the Lord to use us and help us, and wherever, whatever area, like Holly said, wherever you're at, to be used by God. And just give the devil a nice punch and say, I will serve the Lord no matter what comes my way. I will serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I just want to praise Him this morning.
Good song, isn't it? Makes you want to get up and do something. We're going to take a little journey this morning, kind of from the past to the present, maybe to the future. If you know this picture, you know it's Captain Picard from the
USS Enterprise. And one of his key phrases is, make it so, which we're going to talk about that this morning. But, you know, there was a time when people really cared about each other. They'd hang out at the wash together, talk over the back fence. I don't know if some of you probably been there and done that. They'd just stop in for a visit unannounced, and they'd be welcome. You wouldn't have to go to say, who's at the door? They'd just say, come on in. It was a different time. They'd look after each other's kids, and it would be appreciated. And if you did something wrong, your neighbor would tell your mom, right? Or your dad, and you'd get in trouble when you got home. They'd go on picnics together, maybe even have a game of cards on a Saturday night. Children were taught to respect adults, no matter who they were. Dates consisted of going with a group to a football game or some other type of event. People dressed up if they were anywhere in public. Didn't have baggy, saggy pants and all the other stuff that drives me insane. Neighbors helped neighbors with chores or repairs or anything else that needed help. You could trust that your kids would be safe playing out in your yard or walking to town by themselves. We used to ride our bikes up to school and back, you know, a few miles away, and it was no big deal, or walk uptown and get candy or whatever it was, and parents never worried about it. Go back in the backfield and play in the ditch. And then when mom and dad would call for you, you better run home quickly. Or you got a leather reminder when you got there. Teachers were there to teach kids, and kids were there to learn. It wasn't the other way around. Any job was a good job if it helped you learn a living. Family were those people you wanted to spend time with and have fun with. And the television was something you watched on special occasions. And the telephone was attached to a cord. And then the cords were longer, so you could go different places around the house. Prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance was said at the beginning of the school day. And then you put in your order for your milk. Did you want chocolate or vanilla? Or plain, whatever you call it, white milk. I remember all those times. But how times have changed, and I don't think it's all been for the best. Seems people more interested today in things than people. We put up fences so that even if we hang out our washing, nobody can see us, and we can't see them. You come home from work, and you close the door, and you go in the house, or you close the garage door, whatever it may be. If somebody comes unannounced, it would be seen as an intrusion. Well, I intrude people all the time because I a lot of times just stop in and knock on the door. So people don't dare say anything to anyone else's kids and have a hard time looking after their own. And the respect for adults by kids is all but gone by the wayside. In most cases, not all cases, there's still a generation out there that's respecting adults and is making a new way. A date is more an exclusive thing that only two people go on, where they shouldn't be doing what they shouldn't do. Dressing up is not as important as dressing down or dressing in much at all. Neighbors don't help neighbors. In fact, most people don't even know their neighbors. And it's no longer safe to let your kids play outside, even in your own yard, unsupervised for fear of being kidnapped by somebody you don't know or maybe somebody you even do know. Teachers have a hard time teaching kids because kids won't listen and parents want to blame them. The idea that any job is a good job has been replaced by, if it doesn't pay a top dollar, I'm not going to do it. Family is secondary to our job, our friends, and our desires. And television is not just for entertainment. It's used to give us our opinion and values and take us someplace else so we don't have to discuss or deal with our real problems. Phones no longer have cords. They fit in our pockets so we can be reached anytime, any place, and connect to the internet, surf the web, even with a group of friends. We've lost the art of communication with real people, and our phones have become our friends and our family. And prayer has all but left our schools, and being patriotic is getting more foreign to the next generation. My, how times have changed. We're now in the information age, where information or knowledge used to double every 7 years. I looked it up the other day, it said, our knowledge is doubling every 12 months. Think about that. Every 12 months, our knowledge is doubling. You can't hope to keep up. You try as much as you can. Everything you know and more is doubling every 12 months, according to a place called IndustryTap and CO.com, many others. So what's the answer? The answer is you can't keep up. You can't know everything, the latest things. But there are things you need to put in your brain that need to stay there, which is that Christ is Lord. We need to keep that in our mind regardless of whatever else happens, wherever else we go, whatever else information they give us, we need to keep that. And if you need something, look it up. Right? We have talked about that the other day. I went to a lady's house and she said her water heater was out. This isn't in my thing. I'm just ad-libbing this, okay? Water heater was out and she had a kind that I'd never seen before. It doesn't have a one to push or pilot and ignite. So I had to get on my phone, look it up on Google, of course, and watch the video. And all I had to do was turn the switch off and turn the switch back on to restart it because everything was automatic. And I said, I'm not charging you for that. I'm not charging you to turn a switch off and on. But the information was right there if you need to look it up. But sometimes I think we use that as a scapegoat for what we teach our kids. They aren't learning the history behind things. They aren't learning the Christian stories in the Bible because they can use their phones, but that's not going to be there all the time. You're not going to have something in your hand all the time you can use. You have to have it in your mind and in your heart. You'd think with all that information we could end poverty, provide everybody with clean water. You'd think they could all be educated, have clothes, food, and a place to live, and yet that's far from the case. Not because they don't believe you don't have the ability, we don't necessarily have the willingness to do that. Because it's going to cost something. So if you have a sandwich and you want somebody else to have food and you only have one sandwich, it's going to cost you half your sandwich. Are you willing to give them half your sandwich? That's the question. Are we willing to have a cost on us to help somebody else? A lot of times the answer is no, I'm not. I'm going to have the whole sandwich. I'm sorry you're hungry. I'm going to have the whole bottle of water. I'm sorry you're thirsty. But that's the selfishness we have a lot of times. Maybe it's going to lower our standard of living or food supply or luxuries. Maybe we have a little bit less so they can have a little. Nobody wants to hear that, though, do they? Nobody wants to hear those kinds of things. I don't think we're going to solve that problem in our lifetime because we're naturally selfish people. And there's not enough Christians in the world to make up for that, population-wise. Well, years ago, I had a conversation with a guy in Australia. And it was about a sticker on the back of his truck. And the truck there is called a ute. So if I said ute, you wouldn't know what I was talking about. But it's a stick, it's a pickup truck. And it said, the sticker said, Australia for Jesus. Which I didn't notice. I was borrowing somebody's truck when I was there and it said on the back of it. And he said to me, he said, now what happened to that sticker on the back of the truck? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, there's a new one on there that says Australia for us. And I thought about that. We put us in the place of Jesus. Instead of Australia for Jesus or the U.S. for Jesus, it's the U.S. for us. How much can we get? How much can we do? What's going to benefit me? And that kind of woke me up a little bit. Everybody wants to be happy, and everybody wants to be treated fairly. They want to have enough food and money and a house to live in and clothes to wear and enjoy a few nice things once in a while. And that's good for most of the time, except when we replace Christ. When our needs are greater than his, and his should be above ours. And sometimes we switch that around. We forget that others have needs as well. But it's not always about money. It's not about simply handing somebody some cash. It's about an investment and a cost. So Al knows about investments, right? You put money in, you invest in things because you think they're important or going to have some kind of outcome. But sometimes we need to invest our time and talent and money and prayers and food and emotions and love into others. And that sometimes costs us, doesn't it? When you're like, oh, they're calling me again. Oh, not another prayer request, right? But instead it should be good. I'm glad they're calling me again. I'm glad they're coming to ask for prayer. They're asking for intercession because that's what we're here for, is to help other people. So no matter how many times they call you, you may think, oh, man. Who knows what that's doing in their life? How is that changing them? And that's your investment in something for eternity. That gives you a chance to be a part of something bigger than yourself, a sense of helping somebody else to learn how to help themselves, right? Help them learn how to read the Word. Help them learn how to pray. Help them learn how to share with others. What's the old saying? Give a man a fish and feed him for a day, but teach a man to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Teach them how to read the word themselves. That's going to feed them for a lifetime, and they can then help somebody else. Maybe you need to start by giving a fish in order to meet a physical need, and that can be replaced by that person being a fisher of themselves and then a fisher of men. Any of you Star Trek fans? A few people, science fiction people. Thank you very much, people, for raising your hand on that. If you've seen the Star Trek series with Captain Picard, in every episode, he tells his crew and points to them and says, make it so, right? I want you to take this to Warp Factor 9, and you have 2 hours, make it so. Go to destination, whatever it is, and make it so. So he says all these different things, but the crucial phrase is make it so, and the crew knows they better make it so. You better make it happen. You better cause it to be or do it, whatever it may be, but it better be done when I say make it so. So I got you just a little clip from the series if you've never seen it, and hopefully it plays. But do we not have sound?
Make it so.
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 Sir?
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it!
Make it so.
Make it so, number one.
Make it so, Mr. Crusher.
Make it so, Data.
Make it so, Mr. Crusher.
Well, make it so, number one.
Make it so, Mr. Wolf.
Ensign Crusher, prepare to make it so.
Then make it so.
Make it so, Lieutenant.
Make it so.
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 Mr. Crusher, make it so.
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 Make it so, number one.
Make it so, Ensign.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Doctor, Commander, make it so.
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 Heather.
Make it so.
Make it so. They say it takes 27 impressions for you to get something in your mind, doesn't it? So your impression for today is make it so. When I heard that phrase, it kept reminding me of what Jesus told us in Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he said, get it done, make it happen. Basically, make it so. This is what I want you to do. We hear this phrase a lot of times. But if you look on the Enterprise, Captain Picard is in charge. His word is final. He has all the authority to make the decisions, and the entire crew has to do whatever he tells them to do. They trust he knows what's best. He has the experience that he knows what's going to happen. And whatever he says, they do, don't they? Do we trust Christ like that? When he tells us what to do, to make it so, I want you to do this. Sometimes in our own lives, he tells us to do things that nobody else knows. And he says, do it. You're like, what? You ever have that experience? And he says for you to do it, to make it so. Well, the passage starts out with, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So we saw it in his life. He has all authority. When he calmed the sea, walked on the water, raised the dead, turned the water to wine, multiplied the fish and the bread, healed the blind, raised the dead, and many more things. He's the captain of our ship, isn't he? He has all authority, all power. And he's the greatest captain that gives a command that doesn't change. No matter what the world or society says, our mission is to go and make disciples. To go and make it so. To share the love of Christ and his plan of salvation with everybody everywhere. Not just telling them, but teaching them what the Bible says. There's a difference, isn't there, in telling and teaching. Telling you to say it one time. Teaching goes over and over and sometimes goes more in depth. So if you're in the Saturday Bible studies, that's a teaching study where they go more in depth. Not just a telling study. No matter what happens, we can know that God will always be with us. So just like Captain Picard is on that ship with them, he's on our ship, Earth, with us. So imagine a huge, magnificent ship sailing through space, and we call this ship the Earth, don't we? And the crew is all of us. The captain is Jesus. When he shouts a command, says, tell others about me and go in the world and teach them what I've taught you. And then he says, what? Make it so, doesn't he? So if he were here telling us and pointing to you, said, hey, make it so, make it so, make it so, and pointed at everybody and said, make it so, would that make a difference? If Christ was standing here pointing at you and saying, make it so, we need to envision that in our mind, that he's there. With those faithful, inspiring words, make it so, go do it, cause it to happen, obey me and my commands. Why do we obey Christ? Why do we tell others? Why do we give our talents, our time, our money? Because he's our captain, our master, our savior, our Lord. And we know he knows what's best. And he knows the end of the story, doesn't he? He knows what's out there. If you watch your Star Trek things, they don't know what's out there. They just go out and discover. But he's already been there, and he is there. So when we're going somewhere in our life and through our life, we wonder, where are we going? Jesus says, I know where you're going. Just follow this. Just follow me. You know, the world's not the same as it were when we were growing up. Some of you went back a little bit further in history than I have. And things were different for you than they were for me. And it's going to be different for this next generation than it is for us. When they grow up and say, yeah, we had this as a kid and we had this. And then their grandkids are, you know, doing holographic images and transportation things and whatever else they're going to be doing that we have no clue what's going to happen. But no matter how much media changes and technology changes, we don't have circuit preachers, and there's not a lot of letters being written today, or guys standing on soapboxes preaching open air through microphones and videos. Now we have YouTube and Facebook and live streaming, and you can reach millions at one time. The key thing is God still uses people, and the message doesn't change. The method may change, but the message is always going to be the same. The Holy Spirit's the same Holy Spirit that gave power. We look at it in Acts. Still gives us that same power today. Romans 10, starting in 12, says, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That message never gets outdated, does it? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. It's never going to change, no matter how you say it to him, no matter how you tell him, no matter what language you speak. It's never going to be more true than it is now. It's going to be the same message. And he still says, make it so. Spread the word. Help others. Make a difference right where you are. Show people what love is. Teach them about forgiveness and help them find salvation. You don't find a lot of love in the world today a lot of times. You don't find a lot of forgiveness. Right? You find a lot of finger pointing. You did this or you did that, or it's not my fault, or I didn't do this, it's my parents' fault, and everything else. Sometimes you got to take responsibility for where you are, to make a difference in who you are and somebody else. And Romans 10 asks us, how can they then call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in one they haven't heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? If you're going to go and obey the command, then you need to preach it, don't you? Doesn't mean you have to be a pastor, but that means you speak it out to somebody. Maybe what your experience is, maybe what you found in Christ. Maybe you just say, can I pray about this to you? But somehow you need to be some kind of a witness out there. And it doesn't just happen in church on Sunday. Because if it does, you're missing a whole lot of people. Because most of the ones you're going to talk to in here and say, I already know that. I already heard that. I already believe that. You can encourage them and pray for them where they're at. But to preach means to earnestly advocate a belief or course of action. So you can advocate Christ every day in your life, at work, at the store, on the street. No matter where you are, you can be a preacher and advocate your faith through him. Some of us, it's good that nobody's riding in our car with us a lot of times. We're driving around, are we? When somebody cuts in front of you or does whatever and you're thinking, you stupid person. I have to catch myself and say, what did I just say? That's one of God's creations right there. Even that person that cut me off. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they ran that red light like they did yesterday. Totally red and the car went right through it. And I complimented them, of course. No, I really didn't compliment them. I was questioning their intelligence. But we need to think about what we're saying, don't we? Because what you say in private, you're going to sometimes say in public. Right? That's why people work in a factory a lot of times, have never cussed in their whole life. One time in life, it might come out and you're like, where did that come from? Because you've heard it day after day after day. But if you can switch that around and be a positive influence on somebody and say positive things all the time, that's going to start changing the way they are and the way they think and the way they act. Your words make a difference. Maybe you invite somebody to church or ask to pray for them. No one likes to be bashed over the head or bullied, right? A gentle word turns away wrath, doesn't it? It's like honey to people. It draws people. And they respect people that are dedicated, they have commitments, and they give their all. I remember when I was teaching school, and the guys would go out to the bar or whatever, and if I went with them, I would always have Pepsi or Coke. And after a while, they knew I didn't drink. And if they started telling a coarse joke at lunch, because they ate in my room, we had a big round table, we called it the round table, made sense. They started telling a joke that I didn't appreciate, I just got up and walked out. I never said, don't do that, this is ridiculous, I walked out. And then after a while, they stopped doing that. Because they knew that I believed in what I said I believed in, I had a commitment to it. So sometimes your life shows as well. Without your words, but you need your life and your words to show and make a difference. Being a Christian should never get old. It should never become routine. It should be a lifestyle that offers change to others so they can see the change in you. And if you say, if you could see where I came from and where I am now, what difference that made, you'd know by looking at my life that God has made a difference in my life. Those kind of stories that we can tell people. You know where I would be today if I wasn't here, if I didn't find him, if he didn't help me. We help those who are suffering find joy in that midst, and we offer hope to those who see no way out. That's part of our job, isn't it? It's like being in a dark room and flicking the flashlight on and saying, hey guys, this is how you get out of here. That's what we do. You know, this is nothing new, but hopefully it brings your joy back a little bit. Hopefully it gives some fire back in your soul to think about, man, I can do this. A lot of the frustration is, I'm afraid of what they're going to say. I don't really know what to do. I can't do this, right? You have to be able to say, I can do it. With God's help, I can do it. I can do whatever he wants me to do. If he wants to be an astronaut, I can be an astronaut. I might throw up in the capsule, right? But I can do it. I can get past whatever's keeping me from where I should be. Whether it's at work or job or relationship, whatever it is, it might be hard times. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. Oh, it's going to be such a great thing. He says you're going to go through hard times, but I'm going to be there to help you get through the hard times, right? Like when your voice goes out, and you still can sing. I remember when I taught, the first week of school, my voice always went out because you had to talk and talk and talk. One year, I started writing notes on paper and holding up to kids, and I'm like, we're still going to get through this day. We're going to do this no matter what, because it needs to be done. Our lives have eternal consequences, whether heaven or hell, right? And we can help others as well to find out where they're supposed to be. We know we all be in heaven, but they have a choice to make. Maybe your job is to just tell them there's another choice besides what they're making. The verse goes on and says, how can anyone preach unless they're sent? We've all been told to go and preach where it says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, go and preach, go and make it so. We've been sent by the captain. Not a TV personality, though, is he? Captain of the universe, the captain of the world. Psalm 33:6 tells us a little bit about the Lord. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Did you hear how much power is in there? How many things he just speaks and it happens? Said he held the oceans in a jar. How big is God? Can we know how big he is? Can your mind fathom how big God is? How much he knows, how much power he has? I don't think we can. Can your mind fathom how long eternity is? Or what heaven looks like, or what hell's like, any of those kind of things. He gives the descriptions, but for us to imagine that is a hard thing sometimes. And why can we trust in Malachi 3:6? The Lord doesn't change. No matter what, he's always going to be the same. His will is going to be the same for us. His command is the same for us. Make it so others can hear about him. So the question we contemplate today is, What will you do with what you've heard? What are you going to do with it? You're just going to go home and say, oh, that was nice. That was good. And then do nothing? Or will you do something? And only you know that, right? I'm not going to ask you next week, so what did you do this week? I'm not going to ask you that, because you might ask me the same thing. But hopefully, it gets you thought in your head thinking, what am I going to do with this? How can I make a difference? What can I do for him? Will you do your best with the power of the Holy Spirit to make Christ known, to tell others? Because no matter how much the world changes, the message is still the same. We're supposed to live it, proclaim it, and share it. Jesus says to us, like this picture, make it so. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your way and for your will. Thank you, Lord, that you are the captain of our ship, which is for us right now, it's this world. And we know that you have all power. We know that you can guide and direct us. We know you're going to be with us. Your word is true. You never change. Your message for us is to tell others about you by our word and by our deeds. So we ask, Lord, that you would give us that strength, that power, that willingness, that commitment, that fire that we need to get us motivated. Take away the fear and give us joy and expectation. Help us to make the gospel known to those around us. In your name, amen.